Chapter 2. Second Moon. Frank wakes up in the middle of the night with an itch, like he spent half the night rubbing himself on asphalt or something, except that when he opens his eyes, he realizes that it's still dark and he's still in his bed. The itch turns into what it actually is, which is a giant boner. He stills and belatedly realizes that he's been humping the shit out of his pillow.
Fuck.
It's excruciating how much he needs to get off, like he's 12 all over again, except this time, he hasn't actually come yet. Before he can even think about it, he rolls over onto his back, strips his underwear down to his thighs, and goes to fucking town. It really doesn't take that long, but it leaves him panting and not quite as mellow as he'd like. When he glances over at the bedside table, his clock reads 3:14. Even as he's looking at the time, his dick starts to harden in his hand, and he looks at it with a certain degree of disbelief.
"You wanna go again?" he says under his breath. "All right, let's go again."
It feels even better this time, his fingers already covered in cum. It takes a bit longer this time, too, long enough that his brain starts rifling through the fantasy Rolodex in his head. It goes through random Dixie seen online, to the way Deweese used to bite his lip when Frank would blow or jack him, and lands on the memory of Gerard's crotch in front of his face, dick dark and huge, throbbing in Frank's mouth. "Fuck.
Fuck,"
he whispers, trying to move past it, find a less shaky ground, but his dick is having none of it, and it revs up at the memory, the whole thing setting Frank's skin on fire. Something whines inside his chest, and he can't hold it off anymore, not even a little bit. He barely manages not to make any real noise as he comes so hard, it hits him in the chest and even lands a little on his chin.
"Oh, fuck," he exhales.
He wipes the entire mess off his hands with the bottom of his shirt, then strips it off carefully and swipes at his chin, before throwing the shirt to the ground. He didn't need it anyway. His room is stifling hot. Did Mom forget to lower the thermostat for the night, or what? Frank wants to just roll over and go to sleep, but he can't. He's stupidly awake now, feeling like every brain cell is firing at warp speed. He kicks at the covers until they fall to the floor in a heap, then turns over to face the wall. The peeling edge of his black flag poster watches him back with the same dark shadowy lines as always. He sighs and rolls out of bed, feet almost getting caught in his comforter. He pads into the kitchen, gets himself a glass of water, and drinks it while drumming his fingers on the plastic counters. He's almost giddy, even though there's no reason in the world for him to be giddy, especially not at ass o'clock in the morning. But it's a bubbling kind of something in his stomach that he can't quite pinpoint. It's fucking irritating. He just wants to sleep the night away. Before he goes back to bed, he does check the thermostat, but it's been lowered as usual. 60 degrees should not feel this muggy. It takes him almost a full hour of tossing, turning, and cursing to fall back the fuck asleep, and he has to jerk off a third time in order to do it anyway. School is too fucking loud. Everywhere, people are jostling him side to side, and he vaguely remembers the promise of smaller classes and a better learning environment from the interview he and his mom had gone to, but it sure as shit doesn't feel smaller than his middle school in here. It feels 10 times as crowded, and the walls feel that much closer in. He nearly growls at the freshman who bumps into him right in front of his locker, and it's strangely satisfying to see the kid scurry away as quick as a bunny. He goes through the morning feeling like he's running a fever, even though nothing aches, precisely. It's just a focused sort of irritation, the kind he can't do anything about, but that affects everything around him. He's pissed at his teachers for being slow. He's pissed at his classmates for being tools. He's pissed at himself for being pissed. His skin zaps every time he touches anything, and he tied his tie too fucking tight this morning. What fucking gives? It isn't until he makes the trek from math to his locker when a familiar smell invades his senses and he spots Gerard doing his casual slouchy lean against Frank's locker, that it fucking hits him like a ton of idiotic bricks. "Oh shit." He says it out loud because he is that much of an idiot. But of fucking course. It's been over 3 weeks since the last change. The moon is waxing. He's a fucking moron. Before Frank can run away and beat one out in the bathroom, because even the smell of Gerard is enough to get his pants tighter, Gerard spots Frank and smiles.
Frank immediately gets caught in a panicked loop for about half a minute where he just thinks things like, shit, and damn it, and fuck me, please, please just fucking touch me. And then he's right in front of Gerard again, unable to even open his mouth. He's pretty sure he looks like an idiot. An idiot with a giant heart on. Frankie, you all right? Gerard pushes away from the locker and leans closer in. A lot closer than Frank is fucking comfortable with, both because Gerard's scent is so much sharper now, fucking heady, and because there are jocks still milling about the halls, looking for fags to beat up, no doubt. Frank steps back, feeling a weird sense of deja vu, and opens his mouth to say that he's fine, but instead, a sort of whine escapes, and he clamps down his mouth before he can do anything else that will embarrass him for the rest of days. His heart is beating so hard, he thinks everybody within a mile radius can hear it, and for a moment, he doesn't understand how Gerard hasn't been thrown 10 feet back by the sheer force of it. But Gerard is still there, still watching, though his expression's less concerned now, and a lot more confused. Frank swallows against his dry throat, then turns on his heel and legs it the fuck out of there. He can't. He can't. He did last time because he didn't know. He couldn't think. Right now, he is more or less in control of his faculties. He can make his body see fucking sense, and he needs to fucking get away from Gerard right fucking now. Except that he actually can't, because Gerard is following him. Frank can fucking smell it. He can smell all of it now, as if Gerard's emotions are being transmuted directly into Frank's brain. The fear, the excitement, the worry, everything. Frank's fast, but the assholes in the hallways are impeding his movements, and Gerard is still hot on his heels. It doesn't take a fucking werewolf to hear his messenger bag beating against his leg, or his out-of-shape breathing, either. Frank ducks under a stairwell. Maybe he's safe for now, and once Gerard passes, he'll just lock himself in his closet, not let him in. The next second, a shadow falls at Frank's feet, and when he looks up, Gerard is staring at him through his bangs. He's hanging onto the staircase over his head with one hand and watching him. Frank feels like he's going to pop out of his skin. Gerard meets his gaze, and there's little concern there anymore. Frank can smell it. Gerard is hard. Fine. He doesn't know how Gerard knows, but he doesn't give a shit right now either. Frank shakes out his head, palms his dick in one quick motion, just to ease up the pressure a bit, and marches back out into the hallway without giving Gerard another glance. The crowds have mostly thinned out, and his steps echo deliberately over the walls. He can hear Gerard shuffling behind him. Frank tries to take it slow, tries to walk as casually as possible, but he knows he's basically limping with how hard he is, and how much he just needs to fuck. The idea of doing anything with Gerard is stoking a fire in his belly. He can't stop picturing it. He can't stop feeling it. By the time he makes it to his corner of East Wing and rattles open the crappy-ass lock of his closet, Gerard is so close behind him, Frank can feel the heat of his body through both their shirts. He feels a drop of sweat sliding down his spine and jerks open the door. Get in, he says. The one concession he makes is he doesn't let Gerard talk, not even for a second. Instead, once they're through the door, he throws his full weight, pulled in by his throbbing dick, against Gerard, and barely manages to slide the hook on the door into its place. Then he hesitates only a moment before leaning in and crushing his mouth to Gerard's, pinning him to the door, because he hasn't been able to stop thinking about the taste of Gerard's mouth. The sound Gerard makes travels directly from Frank's throat down to his fucking toes, and he begins to shake. The zipper of his pants is digging into his dick, and he squirms until he's got it shifted aside. And now at least the pain is lessened, but he's throbbing, lightheaded, completely filled up and filled in with Gerard, hard against him, kissing the absolute shit out of him. Frank forgot what kissing felt like, even though his mouth remembers how to move all on its own, and his tongue slides against Gerard's by instinct. And, God, Frank has to remember to breathe. He has to, or he will fucking die. His hands begin to hurt with how hard he's clutching the sleeves of Gerard's shirt. The material's so thin, it dampens in his fists. Fuck, fuck. Gerard fucking tastes good. Everything tastes good. His tongue, his lips, his teeth where Frank's tongue slides against them. Frank's dick is trapped between them, and he thinks he might come just like this. Probably will, if either he or Gerard touches it with something like intent. Right now, Gerard is busy clutching Frank's back, though, then sliding his hands up to grip Frank's hair, then sliding back around to his waist, and then again around his back. Frank can't tell the sensations apart anymore. Gerard is touching him everywhere. Frank's making noises in the back of his throat that he couldn't even classify if he tried. The darkness of their space is damp with their heat. He can't even see Gerard like this, and for a second, he's stupidly grateful. Gerard breaks off the kiss, and Frank shoves two fingers into his mouth immediately. "Don't talk, please, please don't talk." Gerard sucks them in, just like that, and Jesus, Frank wants his dick in that mouth, the soft, wet heat of him. He whines and clamps his mouth to the base of Gerard's neck. It smells like sweat and, now, Frank's spit, a combination that makes him flash back to his bed, his pillow, and he ruts against Gerard and feels the door rattle against them. Shit. He gathers all his strength, slips his fingers out of Gerard's mouth, and pushes himself away from him. He can feel Gerard taking a breath to protest, so he shakes his head and shushes him.
Just move away from the door. Here. Come here.
Frank tugs on Gerard's sleeve and walks backwards until his back hits a wall, and he immediately panics. His stomach recoils at the thought of being backed into a corner, so he sidesteps and fakes Gerard out until he can push him up against the wall. And yeah, yes, this. Gerard gasps when Frank's hand lands on his dick and his hips thrust forward. Frank bites his lip until it aches and grips Gerard's dick harder through his pants. The noise that Gerard makes at that is fucking gorgeous, but they can't be loud, not in school, not like this. Frank sticks his sticky fingers right back in Gerard's waiting mouth and catches a shadowy glimpse of Gerard's eyes sliding shut, his eyebrows drawing together. Fuck. Gerard loves this. Fuck. Frank can't fucking wait for Gerard to go down on him. But right now, all Frank fucking wants in life is to get at Gerard's dick, for real, not just through the pants. His fingers slip and slide and snag when he tries to undo the button and zipper one-handed, but he still slaps Gerard's hands away when he tries to help. Gerard whines and bucks against him, but Frank has a goal. He won't be sidetracked. It takes him a few excruciating moments, but he finally undoes the goddamn zipper of Gerard's pants and fumbles with his shirt tails until he can slide his fingers inside of Gerard's briefs. He doesn't remember it being this difficult last time, but he had both hands then. Gerard's waistband snags on his hand, and Frank huffs out of breath.
"Fuck, take them off, come on,"
he whispers, and his voice comes out rough and demanding. Wild-eyed, Gerard obeys him immediately, shoving them down and wiggling until they hit his calves. If Frank thought Gerard's scent was strong before, it's nothing compared to now. And he can't fucking help sliding down to his knees to stick his nose right up against Gerard's crotch and just breathe it in. "Fuck," Gerard breathes above him, and Frank can't even care about it. He's too busy wrapping one hand around the base of his dick and sucking the head in. He can't help his moan, either. He fucking loves sucking dick. Jesus Christ. Gerard's got a nice dick, too. And Frank takes as much of it in as he can into his mouth and just sucks. Gerard makes a hiccuping, "ugh," sound, and Frank feels the pinch at his head where Gerard has grabbed all of his hair at once and pulled. He moans at that, too, and maybe pulls his lips away from his teeth, just a little, just in warning, because Gerard is still not the one running this show. But fuck, he feels good. Frank clutches Gerard's soft hip with the hand that's not wrapped around his dick, and the contact feels electrifying. For a second, he imagines blue sparks coming out of his fingers if he were to lift them up, like something out of X-Men, if X stood for X-rated. He almost laughs at that, but he can't. His mouth is full, and his chest is hollow from not remembering to breathe. He takes in one long breath as he pulls off, then slides back onto Gerard's stick. He can barely find a rhythm. He's probably not making it all that great for Gerard, but he can't stop, either. At least his hand is doing something useful, jacking him off tight and precise. Maybe his mouth is too, though, because Gerard's gasping out his name now, almost panicked, and Frank gets the urge to go down deeper. He doesn't want to pull off and lose that taste. He wants Gerard to come in his mouth, wants to taste all of it. And Gerard does, 2 seconds later, shaking against Frank's hands, his gasp loud and somehow like a shock to the system. Frank squeezes his fingers around Gerard's thigh and dick and swallows, relishing the bitterness of it. Even when Gerard's dick starts to soften a little in his mouth, Frank just doesn't want to let go. The next moment, though, his mouth is empty. Gerard has pushed him off, and Frank protests, wanting to get back in.
Fuck, Frank. Stop. Stop, it's too much. Wait,
Gerard whispers, and Frank loses his balance, staggering backwards and landing on his ass. He swears at the same time that Gerard does, and between one painful moment and the next, he winds up pinned down on the floor, Gerard's weight over him. His first instinct is to struggle.
Fuck, what?
Shut up, my turn now, Gerard whispers, his voice so fucking shot it sounds like porn, and his hands are already fumbling for Frank's fly, shaking but accurate.
Oh, motherfucker. Oh, fuck. Fuck.
Frank gives up trying to escape. He loses all of his coherent thought, in fact, because Gerard's hot, tight mouth is suddenly on his dick, and it feels so fucking good. A strong wave of regret washes over Frank as he realizes that he's not going to last at all through this. He tries to hold out, but he can't stop himself from thrusting up into Gerard's hot mouth, his hips getting away from him, just for a little bit.
Just another thrust. Fuck. Like that. Just like that. Yeah.
Gerard moans loud, the vibrations nearly undoing Frank, then wraps one hand around Frank's dick, pinning him down with his other, and pumps him with a few dizzying, tight and slick strokes. Frank whimpers and shoves a fist into his mouth so he can just quit making all this noise, but he can't help it. The sounds are being torn out of him by Gerard's mouth and hand working him over. Gerard's fingers curl around his belly, and it's a moment of rushing freefall before Frank slammed headfirst into his orgasm. His lungs burn and his toes go numb and his heart beats wildly against his ribcage. He can barely feel the ground beneath him. But he can feel her, feel the pull of the moon on his skin. The moment before his mind returns to him, he hates the cold certainty of it more than anything. Gerard is panting quietly over him, still on his knees on the dusty floor, and he doesn't say a word as Frank scrambles up and starts tucking himself away, avoiding looking Gerard in the eye. But when he finally catches Gerard's uncertain, questioning gaze, he can already feel the gnawing chewing of regret in the back of his brain. He stomps it down before it really starts to eat him whole, and looks away. His mom keeps giving him furtive looks from where she's perched at the kitchen counter having her tea.
She never forgets the lunar calendar, Frank thinks irritably.
He tries to ignore her, but after a while, it's almost suffocating, the way she keeps mothering him from 3 feet away.
What, Mom?
He snaps, not taking his eyes from his textbook. Did I say anything? She says calmly, and takes another sip of her tea. Frank sighs. He shouldn't snap at her, it's not her fault. She just needs to stop worrying so goddamn much. It happens every month. Sure, he's an idiot who actually managed to forget what's coming, but he's with it now, and the slow ticking of the kitchen clock is seriously going to be the death of him. Why is he doing his homework here instead of in his room, for fuck's sake?
I'm going to my room, he declares, and shuts the textbook with a thump. See you later.
Okay, honey, she answers, and he almost throws his book against the wall at the methodical way she keeps drinking her tea. He clenches his teeth so tight they hurt, and practically runs back to his bedroom. It isn't until he's shut the door behind him and actually thrown the book across the room that he remembers why he couldn't study in here. It smells like fucking Gerard, from where he'd followed Frank home 2 days ago, wanting to borrow a CD Mikey had apparently pinched from him for good. The room feels saturated with his presence, that two-day-old, unshowered smell that hangs around him even if he still smells like soap. Frank bites his lip and crosses the room in 2 strides to throw open the window. The cool wind whips his hair around his face a little while he stands there, breathing it in, but it doesn't help the insistent beat of his heart, the way his body feels too full for his tight skin. Shit, it hasn't been this difficult to take in years. Not since the first year, in fact. But he'd been a total kid back then. He's older now, and should maybe bear it easier. But maybe that's something his mom had made up to make him feel better on those long nights leading up to the change, where all he could do was bury his head in her lap and whine from how much it hurt, how panicked he felt, and let her rock him to troubled sleep. What did she know about this, anyway? None of them had exactly been prepped for what to do when your child gets bitten by an extraordinary wolf. Frank really does whine now, a low, guttural sound that makes his ears pop. He doesn't bother closing the window, just slides the curtain shut, going for his fly with his other hand. Yes, yes, yes. The relief that floods through him at the first stroke is like a wave crashing over sand. It leaves him breathless. He pumps his dick, and his hips move on their own to the rhythm. Just a little more. Just hang on, he thinks. Just a little bit more. He bites his lip and moans when he comes all over his hand and sags down until his forehead's pressed up against the window screen through the bunched-up curtain. His shoulders shake as the cum slowly dries on his fingers, and some on the curtain, too, while he tries to get his breath back. The need only gets worse from there. His phone beeps a message alert at 12:30. What are you doing? Frank laughs despite himself and rolls onto his back to reply. The relief fluttering at the edges of his heart is something he tries hard to ignore.
Sleeping, you douche. You?
He doesn't turn on the lights while he waits, because he isn't waiting, exactly. And it doesn't take long, either. Gerard's reply is pretty quick. Jerking off. Frank snorts through the shock. They're not. They don't. What?
Ha ha. Are you fucking drunk?
That's got to be the only explanation. Frank can't imagine Gerard sending actual porny texts to Frank. To anyone, for that matter. Then again, what the hell does Frank know? He chews his lip and keeps his phone in front of him, watching the faded welcome screen for any sign of sarcasm or psych or anything. When it vibrates between his fingers and lights up, he nearly drops it. Yeah, got a quart of vodka today. Yum screwdrivers. Frank laughs and rolls to his side, facing the dark wall. He's completely awake now, and really enjoying the way the sheets rub against his bare legs and arms. He snuggles deeper into the covers and hits reply.
Not if they're warm, dude.
He pauses for a second, then types on.
Still jerking off?
After he hits send, he buries his face in his pillow and lets his hand holding the phone fall loose to his side.
What is he doing?
It's insane. But it's nice and warm under the covers, and as he lies there waiting, hoping,
for another message alert,
he tries not to think past the moment. When the phone vibrates again, he reaches for the button automatically, and for a second it doesn't make any sense as he watches the time ticking under Gerard. But then he hears Gerard's staticky voice coming tinny through the speaker and lifts the phone to his ear automatically. Hello?
Gerard?
He whispers in the dark, not sure just how loud he can speak before he wakes up his mom.
What the hell?
Sorry, Frankie, just felt like talking. Gerard's voice is blurry. He really is drunk. And he sounds warm, too. Nobody outside of Frank's family ever used the nickname. Frank shuts his eyes, realizing they've never actually talked on the phone before. It feels intimate, tucked away in the dark. Frank blinks to clear his vision.
Yeah? You're dumb. We've got school tomorrow,
he says, in a kind of stage whisper, testing out the limits.
Why are you whispering? Oh, right, your mom. Dude, you need to, like, soundproof your room or whatever. Isn't your mom's room upstairs?
Frank snorts and scratches his nose.
Yeah, right above me, dude. You should sleep with a fan on, like, it'll kill the noise, you know?
Frank rolls his eyes, his stomach clenching a little.
Dude, what the fuck? Why would I want to kill the noise? I'm not actually in the habit of talking to drunk assholes in the middle of the night.
He's so painfully awake and aware of Gerard, even miles away, it's surreal.
What is he doing? How did this happen?
Well, I guess that's fair. My basement isn't soundproofed. I'm just kind of far away from everyone.
Gerard slurs, and Frank's chest thumps painfully.
His basement sure as shit is soundproofed. God, this is absurd. He needs to change the subject. Maybe get off the phone altogether. Why the fuck are you calling? Weren't you jerking off or something?
He asks, and it catches up with him the very next second, a hot wave rolling all through his body. His skin prickles with sudden awareness.
Shit, he breathes out without meaning to.
Gerard hums in his ear and then says,
I was sorry. I mean, I am. I wanted to. I don't know. Fuck, I wanted to suck your cock. Or, like, tell you I wanted to suck your cock, I guess. I can't actually do it like this. Wish I could. Been thinking about it.
His voice keeps fading in and out, crackling breaths and static noise, and Frank's whole body goes rigid with how much it fucking wants.
Jesus, what?
You tasted real good when I tried it the first time. I want to do it again, you know? I'd do it better now I know what to do.
Gerard mumbles, and Frank can't even hold on to the thread of his logic. His whole head is, like, pounding. What the fuck?
Gerard?
Tell me you want me to. Please, please.
Gerard's voice pitches up higher, and Frank's dick throbs, like it's finally caught up with the rest of his body. Frank's hands on it the next second, quick and too dry, but all he has to do is squeeze, just a quick.
Frank, you do, right? Why would you? I mean, why would you let me if you didn't want it?
Gerard, shut. Ugh, fuck, shut up.
Frank's out of control. He's burning right the fuck up. His heart is pounding, and his dick feels like it's 10 times its size and going to explode, crushing him with it. He doesn't stop moving his hand over it, and his hips are snapping higher and higher up.
You want me to, I know you do, I just... Oh, fuck, Frank!
Frank barely picks up on the hitch in Gerard's breath, and then he's coming, just a single moan pushed out of his throat and into the speaker, getting away from him.
God, it feels like he comes forever.
It doesn't end, pulse after pulse. Shuddering and pulsating, and he can't take a breath until he's milked the last of it, all smeared on his shirt and over his fingers. He must have kicked the covers off, because his feet are tangled in the edges at the foot of his bed. Gerard is finally quiet on the phone. Frank licks his dry lips and clenches the phone tighter in his shaking hand.
Fuck me, what the shit?
Gerard doesn't answer for a really long moment. So long, Frank takes the phone away from his ear to make sure the call is still going. It is.
Gerard? Are you... Gerard?
Sorry, I gotta... Shit, I'm gonna puke. Aw, fuck.
Then he's gone. Frank stares at the phone in disbelief, then drops it like a hot potato. It bounces on the floor and clatters away.
What the fuck just happened?
He wipes his hand on his shirt, then carefully strips it off and throws it to the floor. His skin is prickly with sweat, and goosebumps are rising as he breathes. He watches his stomach rise and fall for a long time before he rolls over and passes out. He has a text in the morning, sent at 1:44 a.m.
Sorry for leaving. Puking is so gross. See you at school tomorrow.
Frank gets absolutely no clarification from that. Maybe Gerard will have forgotten about the whole thing by lunchtime. Frank spends the morning at school vibrating. It's so fucking close now. Only 2 days. The 2-day mark is somehow always worse than one. The extra day of jittering, of feeling like your skin wants to crawl right off your body. An extra day of hot flashes and that pounding heartbeat, the kind he can't calm down. An extra day of feeling like all he wants in life is to fuck somebody through the floor, stick his dick in somebody's mouth, fuck himself on his own fist. It's interminable. It's unfathomable. He dreads this day every month, and every month it catches up with him, claws at his insides, the wolf so fucking close to taking over. He grits his teeth and doesn't run to the nearest John during math, even with Master staring at him weirdly, like he knows something's up. The way Frank's jittering in place, though, you'd probably have to be dead not to notice. But hey, it's flu season. Maybe if he went to the nurse, he'd get sent home. At least there he could beat it and climb the walls to his heart's content. With his luck, she'd just make him lie down and then send him right back to class. He can't even think about lying still. He can barely sit still. His hand flies up completely of its own accord, and he can't take it back now without looking like a lunatic.
Yes, Mr. Iarrow?
Masters arches his eyebrow like he's James fucking Bond, and Frank grips the edge of his desk tightly.
Can I have a bathroom pass?
Somewhere behind Frank, he hears a muffled cough and,
"Jerk off!"
And for a split second, he just wants to lash the fuck out, throw his desk aside, and go for the kill. But he's got enough presence of mind that all he does is stare at Masters until he silently extends him the pass, then get the hell out of the stifling classroom before he can change his mind.
He hears Dershowitz making a crack about him finally getting that first Woody, but once he starts to run, he doesn't stop, just lets himself whip through the empty hallways past the bored-looking hall monitors who don't even bother to admonish him, past all the lockers and doors and windows, until he's at the very back of East Wing, breaking into the closet. At first, it doesn't compute. The darkness invaded by a familiar sharp smell. It feels all wrong, and sends Frank into a momentary panic. Then he makes out the huddled figure in the corner.
Frank?
Gerard's voice is high, but muted, somehow, like he's mumbling into his knees.
Gerard, what the...
Sorry, I know I'm not, like, supposed to be in here. I just couldn't... I needed to be alone.
Frank is acutely aware of his own heavy breathing, and of the way his body is responding to Gerard, every nerve cell waking to awareness.
Fuck.
He licks his dry lips and nods.
It's... fine, I guess. I'm just gonna...
He makes to turn, but Gerard's voice rings out, almost too loud, but unsure.
No, wait, I just... Did I, call you last night? 'Cause I think I did, but it's like... It feels unreal. Maybe I dreamt it?
Frank's face flushes.
I think, maybe, but honestly, I was too tired. I can't remember what we talked about.
He wishes he could forget, but there's not a chance in hell of that happening. He's just so fucking relieved that it sounds like Gerard has.
Oh, Gerard says quietly. Okay, that's weird, I guess. Sorry?
Gerard, Frank can see now, is sitting at the very back corner, his bag thrown aside. His hair is a crow's nest. Frank can barely make out his face. He smells sleepy and exhausted. Frank shrugs, trying for casual, his hand still gripping the door.
It's fine, whatever. You can call me whenever, I guess.
What? Why did he just say that? Even in the dark, he can make out a flash of Gerard's slow smile before he ducks his head and hides it from view.
Cool. Thanks. You too.
Frank doesn't answer, just grits his teeth. He needs to get the fuck out of here. The point was to get away, and Gerard is too close, too much of what... He's just too much. If he stays here even for another second, Frank will lose his mind, or rip off Gerard's pants. Or both. The idea of staying in school for another second is enough to send him into a fucking frenzy. He throws a quick apology to Mom in his head, and makes the decision.
Listen, I am actually getting sick, so I'm gonna go and grab my stuff and take off. I'll see you tomorrow.
Masters gives him another,
I know what you did there,
look when Frank rushes back to class and hurries to sit back at his desk, but Frank doesn't even care. He's running hot enough that if he goes to the nurse, she will send him straight home. She better. She does. Frank speed dials his mom and mumbles his apology while she frets at him and tells him she won't be home before 6 at the earliest.
That's fine, I'll just... I don't know.
The thing is, he doesn't. He's going out of his mind with a useless kind of energy. He thinks if he got desperate enough, he'd run until he hit, like, Delaware. North Carolina.
Florida.
He has no idea what he's going to do at home, but at least there he's free to look and act like the freak that he is. There, he doesn't have to hold back. He promises her to start dinner, and then he's off. His feet pound the pavement, vibrating with the force of it, and his knees whine a little. It's amazing. His bag is an afterthought. It just feels so fucking good out in the fresh air, the freedom of it. Jesus, he wants his clothes off. He wants his clothes off so bad, and that's another thing he can't do at school or when Mom is home. He feels like laughing, so he does. And he probably looks crazy. He feels crazy, but he doesn't care. He feels like flying. He strips, gets in the shower, and jerks off. Then he scrubs himself clean, and jerks off again. After he comes, he leans against the tiled wall of the tub and pants for a while, letting the hot water stream over him. He only gets out when he feels like he can't breathe in the heat anymore. He uses his mom's absence to walk around naked. It's oddly freeing, getting water from the fridge with his junk hanging out, and he giggles into his glass, feeling even more Looney Tunes than usual. He just wants the full moon to hit already, so he can get it over with and start the cycle all over again. It's more suffocating this time around. He doesn't want to think about that.
think about what it might mean, this shit getting worse, and just uses his momentary freedom as judiciously as he possibly can. He blares Black Flag in the living room, puts his underwear back on, and vacuums the shit out of the house. Mom is always complaining about how easily the light carpet stains and shows up every speck, so he uses up energy getting every single speck out. He even gets down on his knees and picks at the stuff the vacuum won't get, because it's an old piece of shit that's been around longer than Frank has, and they could probably get a better one, but Mom thinks it's a waste of money while this one is still technically working, even if it's on its last legs. Frank swears as he crouches and gets rug burn on his knees, and under Henry's screaming, nearly misses the house phone ringing. He barely makes it into the kitchen and blows his bangs out of his face before answering. Hello?
Frankie, you're home?
Dad? Frank hurries to lean over and shut the kitchen door to mute the music, nearly braining himself on the wall.
What's up?
Why aren't you in school?
Frank can hear cars honking in the background. He wonders where Dad is.
Wasn't, you know, feeling all that great, he answers, wondering if his dad follows the lunar cycle with Mom's vicious attention to detail.
Is it bad this time around?
His dad lowers his voice on the question, which really answers Frank's. He nods, then laughs at himself, 'cause Dad can't see.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I don't know. Just couldn't be there today.
Frank breathes into the silence for a while, then hears the static sound of his dad taking a drag of his cigarette. Must be his lunch break, then.
How are you?
I'm good. Thought I'd check in with you.
Dad replies, sounding a bit stilted, and Frank aches a little with missing him. Sometimes Philly feels thousands of miles away.
Will you be all right? You need anything?
Dad always asks that. The thing is, Frank isn't sure that he would follow through. Sometimes it's enough just to be asked, though.
Nah, I'll be fine. You know, same old, same old.
Jeez, he sounds like his grandpa.
Why'd you call, anyway?
At a time when he knew no one would be home, Frank doesn't add.
Well, Linda had called but didn't leave a message. Just wanted to check why, but I guess she's at work, huh?
Frank can't help laughing a bit. His dad, the master avoider.
Yep, we're fine.
Well, good. Melanie sends her love, as always.
Thanks. Her too, Frank breathes. We still on for that weekend?
He didn't mean to ask, but it's been ages since he's seen Dad.
Of course, Frankie,
Dad answers, and a knot slowly loosens in Frank's chest.
All right, I'm gonna get back to work. You let me know how you are, okay?
Sure, Dad. Thanks.
Frank nods and digs his fingernail into the doorframe. He doesn't really scratch the paint, but it feels kind of good.
See ya.
Bye, Frankie.
His dad hangs up first, and Frank throws the phone back into the cradle haphazardly, leans his forehead against the wall, counts to 10, then throws the door open again. Maybe he can dust this crap away. He doesn't notice he's got a text until after he's dusted all of the picture frames in the hallway and gone back to the living room to see if there was anything else he could do with his life, or maybe at least the furniture. The CD ends and the air goes dead with the silence. The vibration from his bag is the first sound he hears.
You okay?
Frank shakes his head, but replies despite his better judgment.
I'll live.
Gerard's reply is, as always, pretty fast. Was that ill or I'll? 'Cause those are two diff things. FYI, ill is bad. Frank snorts and sags down onto the carpet.
I will live. You are hilarious. Still hungover?
Gerard doesn't reply for a while, long enough that Frank starts to feel antsy for something to do. He can't remember what his mom had planned for dinner, though maybe going to the kitchen will jog his memory. But it's too early to start on that anyway. Jesus, how long is this day going to be? He's taking a piss when the next message comes through.
Ill live. That's ill.
I'm fine, though, and bored. No art today. Gerard's always happier when he's got art, just like Frank's always happier on days with no gym class. It's just the way school goes, though. Frank's missing gym today, and he's over-fucking-joyed.
Sorry, that sucks, he texts back.
He thinks about what he could do with his afternoon if Gerard was here, and physically shudders all over at the mere thought. He doesn't know why he even went there. What the fuck? He doesn't hear from Gerard again, figuring he probably got busted for using his phone in class or something. When he walks around the house and sees that there's nothing else he can clean, The jitters start to return bit by little bit. Frank feels completely caged in, and for a second he flashes back to the physical cage downstairs, the memory of the wolf lashing out against the metal and the walls and the bars. Fuck. He hates it when that happens. If he's going to survive this, live this for the rest of his life, he's got to keep the boundaries up. He's not going to become the wolf. He isn't. Not when the moon isn't full, anyway. Maybe if he can sit still long enough, he can fuck around on the guitar or something. At least that's an outlet.